Have you ever heard of the horse Red Rum? Red Rum. I used to think that Red Rum was given that name because he was red, because he was a red color. Then I discovered that it's nothing to do with his color. It wasn't anything to do with the color of the horse. It was names of his parents. They took parts of the names of Red Rum's parents and joined them together, put them together, and they got Red Rum, the great racehorse who won the Grand National. I don't know, maybe won two or three Grand Nationals. Red Rum. Well, when we come to Revelation chapter 6, folks, we don't have Red Rum, but we've got another red horse. The red horse that's mentioned in verse 4. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. We thought a few weeks ago, it's what, 3 weeks ago now, I think, since we were in the book of Revelation, about the white horse. And I said that the white horse speaks to us of the conquering Savior, the Lord Jesus. He's the conquering hero. We are thankful to God for a man called King William, who will be commemorated and celebrated tomorrow, and rightly so. And by the way, folks, did you know that both Protestants and Catholics fought for King William? Now get that. Because there's some people think, oh, it's a sectarian issue. I want to tell you it's not. There were Catholics fighting on William's side. But we ought to thank God today on the eve of the 12th of July, and tomorrow we ought to take a moment and bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that have been handed down to us from the glorious revolution. Yes, we ought to remember 1690. The white horse, William, the conquering hero. By the way, on his deathbed, he received communion. Cried out to God, and as he lay dying, realized that he was a sinful wretch, pleaded for the mercy of God. Now, he was saved long before this, but to his dying day, he realized his need of God's mercy. King William III, Prince of Orange. He was a saved man. Received the Lord's Supper on his deathbed. You don't have to wait till your deathbed to receive it. You just have to wait about, well, I was going to say 12 hours, but that would be a bit too much. You'd be in your bed then. Tonight, you can receive it. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, but I'm not worthy. I've had a bad week. You don't know how I feel the Lord this week and the shameful things that I've thought and said and done. Well, I want to tell you, folks, I don't need to know about them. Only one who needs to know about them is the Lord. So you just tell the Lord about them if you haven't already. And you come to the table tonight, for it's for you. It was old Rabbi Duncan said, it's for sinners. There's a wee woman and she felt unworthy of coming to communion. Rabbi, that was his nickname. He wasn't a Jewish rabbi. It was the nickname he was given. Great old Scottish preacher, Duncan. It's for sinners. Take it, madam, it's for sinners. Saved sinners. Sinners saved by grace. That excludes nobody who's saved. There'll be no fence around the table tonight. I've no right to put a fence around the Lord's table. Decide who and who can come and who can't come. Not a bit of it. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I want to tell you, all the examining you have to do is that you're trusting in the blood of Christ. So all the examining you have to do. I hear folk talk about, examine yourself now. Make sure you're free from sin, without sin. Well, you'll be a long time doing it, folks. Because none of us are free from sin. Because none of us are without sin. But I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me and cleanses you from all sin. And makes you and me worthy to come to the table. So just in case the old devil would get at any of you this afternoon, you'll be ready for him. King William taking communion on his deathbed. The white horse, the conquering hero. I tell you, the Lord Jesus is the conquering hero today. He has conquered. He rent the veil in two. He's the victor. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So there's the white horse in Revelation 6. The Lord Jesus and his gospel. And folks, wherever Christ and his gospel go, you'll find the red horse too. The white horse will always be followed by the red horse. Now the question is this morning, what does the red horse speak of? I'll tell you what I believe it speaks of. Persecution. Persecution. Persecution of believers. The persecution of the saints. Whenever the powers that be make war against the saints. It's happening already, by the way, in our world. We'll say a wee bit more about that tonight. You come back, hear about the persecution of believers around the world. We're going to talk about it this morning too, mind you. The red horse. How do I know that the red horse speaks of the persecution of Christians? Well, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, the Lord Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Sword. Do you know the word sword that's found there in Matthew 10 is the exact same word in the original that's found in Revelation 6 and verse 4, the sword. The sacrificial knife, that's what it can be translated as. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 10 was speaking of how when he would come into the world and how men would follow him, then they would bring persecution upon themselves. The sword would come. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so Jesus says in Matthew 10 and also in Revelation 6 that where his gospel comes, where he comes, and where souls are saved, then the devil will stir up persecution. The prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world, will move those in authority to persecute the Lord's people. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus warned of this persecution. "They shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." Acts chapter 4 records the fulfillment of the Savior's prophecy. "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day," threw them into prison, in other words. Hebrews chapter 11, that great Westminster Abbey of the faith. At the end of the chapter, what a description of the red horse, the persecution of believers. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. The red horse of persecution. You know, folks, every century has its red horse. Every century has it. The red horse, we could say, was in the Garden of Eden, you know. God's servant Abel was slaughtered, murdered by his own brother. Aye, the red horse was there. Persecution. At the dawn of time. Persecution's not a new concept. It's always been around. The Lord's people have always been lambs to the slaughter. What about Naboth? Naboth's vineyard, 1 Kings. I'm not going to sell it. Mind you, a lot of churches have sold the vineyard in recent times, haven't they? Ahab and Jezebel control the vineyard. The red horse came along, and Naboth died a martyr's death. What about Stephen in the New Testament, the first Christian martyr? Paul, John the Apostle, the one who recorded the book of Revelation, the penman of Revelation. He's on the Isle of Patmos, a persecuted believer, persecuted for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Polycarp, we talked about him some time ago. Perpetua. Oh, we could move down to the medieval times, the Spanish Inquisition. St. Bartholomew's Day, when all the French Huguenots were butchered. Bring it more up to date. What about the martyrs of the 20th century? Did you ever hear of a missionary couple called John and Betty Stamm? John and Betty Stamm. The red horse came for them. It was the year 1934. They were missionaries in China. The communists took over China. They came, they apprehended the missionaries, led them on what's called the Long March, 12-mile march. They had a little baby, a little daughter who was only 3 months old. The little girl survived, but the parents were beheaded for the cause of Christ. John and Betty Stamm. The sword. It actually, you can read their biography, the account of their death, and how the communist soldier took out a sword. What do we read about today in Revelation 6? A sword. Sword. The Stamms laid down their life for the cause of Christ. But the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. What about the underground church in China today? The fruit of John and Betty Stamm. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it fall into the ground and die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's true of the Savior, the Lord Jesus,
by the shedding of his blood and the sacrifice at Calvary, what a harvest. And those of us who are saved in the service, we're part of the harvest of Calvary, of Golgotha, the battle that the Lord Jesus won. But oh, the martyrs, those who experienced the red horse and the sword, oh, the mighty harvest that comes from their sacrifice. Wasn't it said of young Patrick Hamilton in Scotland, the young Scottish martyr? You can see his memorial stone at St. Andrews today. They said when Hamilton was being martyred, burned at the stake, that everyone his smoke blew upon became a Christian. Take your stand for Christ and leave the rest to the Lord. He'll bring forth the harvest. The red horse. This red horse is still around today as we finish off. I want to bring it really up to date. And we're in 2021 now, this year. 11th of June. I'm just going to give you the headlines. I don't have time to read the details, folks. But the 11th of June, 70-year-old pastor slain over outreach to Muslims in Uganda. 17th of June, armed extremists kill doctor and 17 other Christians in Nigeria. 20th of June, Muslim father poisons daughter for turning to Christ. 30th of June, pastor in northern India killed for his faith. Same day, Islamic extremists burn pastor to death in Uganda. The red horse. Persecution. You know there's a blessing for the persecuted. Just in case I painted a very gloomy picture today. No, not at all. No, listen to the words of the Lord Jesus in the Beatitudes. Listen to what the Savior said of those who are persecuted. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. The blessing that's promised to those who are persecuted. Nobody wants to be persecuted. That's human nature. But there is the blessing. There's the blessing that accompanies it. There's a very important word that I need to touch on before I finish today, found in Revelation 6, verse 4. Did you notice that word given? Given. And power was given to him. Power's given to the rider and the red horse. And then the end of the verse, there was given unto him a great sword. Given. That word brings comfort to my soul today, and it should bring comfort to your soul, because that word teaches us that the Lamb reigns. The Lamb is sovereign. The Lord Jesus, the Lamb, the risen Lamb, he's the one who gives power to the rider and the red horse. He's the one who gives the sword to the rider and the red horse. This power is given unto him, and the Savior, the sovereign Savior, can just as quickly remove it from him. I'm glad today at the end of our service to be reminded that the Lord is sovereign. He reigns, he rules. Did he not say to Pontius Pilate, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above"? I want to tell you, folks, the devil has no power against us. No one has any power against us
until they're given it from above, from the Lamb who reigns. Take heart today if you're being persecuted, because you could be persecuted even in your own home. Because you could even be persecuted in your church. This is where the rubber hits the road today, folks. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Hymn writer said, Lamb of God, thou now art seated high upon thy Father's throne. All thy gracious work completed, all thy mighty victory won. Every knee in heaven is bending to the Lamb for sinners slain. Every voice and harp is swelling, worthy is the Lamb to reign. Lamb of God, thou soon in glory wilt to this sad earth return. All thy foes shall quake before thee, all that now despise thee mourn. Then thy saints shall rise to meet thee, with thee in thy kingdom reign. Thine the praise and thine the glory, Lamb of God, for sinners slain. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, I want to take a moment, Lord, to pray for those of your people who are going through trials and perhaps even through persecution. Perhaps the red horse has been hounding them in recent days. I pray that you will encourage them mightily today. Pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world today. Pray, Lord, that much grace may be given to them. And Lord, we remember those in our service this morning who are still not saved. Oh Lord, they haven't joined the happy throng marching to glory. We pray, oh Lord, that they will stop halting between two opinions. Pray, dear Lord, that they'll even take the decision today to follow Christ, to follow the Lamb, to follow the rider on the white horse, and then that they may even be found at communion tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.